on this today, but just more some lighter things. Let's discuss first the idea of a kavod malchus. Rashi in this parasha says kavod malchus. Very good point. Rashi says that Yosef was informed that his father is sick. Your father is sick. Okay, Chazal actually said this is the first time someone ever got sick. There was no such thing as getting ill. Can you imagine the whole industry? Public health would go down, all that business. I don't think you can put a price tag on the health industry. The whole world operates on the health industry. Pharmaceuticals.
Because
what?
We see that Torah calls the undertakers the rofim.
Very interesting. The people, the undertakers, were called the roifim, right? Interesting. What do they do exactly? Until Yaakov Avinu, there was no such thing as illness. There was no such thing as a hospital. There were no pharmaceutical companies. There were no healthcare workers. There were no AIDS. No one ever came with AIDS. They didn't sell any. No pharmacies. How do they make parnasa?
So what was the economy based on?
I don't know. It's
mummified.
It's a very interesting question. It is a very interesting question. What was the economy? If you speak to an economist, you bring in an economist. No, Chazal say Yaakov, and it was the first. Yaakov was the mispalel that people should get ill. People should get sick. Why? All the benefits, the spiritual benefits which come along with this. It's a wake up call to a person, because the person just drops dead, he dies. And then he finds himself in the Olam HaEmes. Wait a minute.
When did this happen?
How did this happen to me? And I didn't prepare. I was not properly prepared in a frame of mind to do teshuvah and do my tafka on this world. Such a frightening concept. I mean, and also, you bring in today a big real economist and ask them, how could a country exist today without it? You know, people need to have jobs. There has to be some type of industry. There has to be some type of the economy was based upon certain services and products. The country that we live in, I can't give you, I don't know the number, but the economy is certainly a major chunk of the economy is fueled by the health industry, healthcare, which includes everything.
One sixth.
That's it. Only 1/6 of this country. If you would take out that part of the economy, anything related to medicines and to hospitals, defense, war, all the problems are just. It's very hard to understand how this world works, because every problem in this world, really in truth, is what keeps the world going. Is part of the economy. The major chunk of the economy is the military, Department of Defense. Most of the budget goes to the Department of Defense. So the Department of Defense, so let's say there'll be no wars. V'lo yisa goy al goy cheref, v'lo yilmedu oid milchama. So you don't need tanks, you don't need nuclear missiles, you don't need this, you don't need that. You just shut down half of the economy is finished. If no one gets sick, you shut down the other half of the economy. So how do people make parnasa? How do people make money? How do people live? What do you do?
Sell wheat.
What do you mean sell wheat? How do you have money to buy the wheat? You're going to barter, I'll grow potatoes, and you'll grow apples, and we'll switch? That'll be the entire economy?
The construction.
Computers? But the most of the computers are used for Defense Department, and it's used for the pharmaceutical companies and pharmacies and the hospitals. Everything is interconnected. It's really mind-boggling how the world will operate in the times of Mashiach. It really, really is. When all of the problems go away, what's going to fuel the economy? All right, that's a side point. But in any event, Yaakov Avinu was the first person to be mispalled that people should get ill. Hinei. Wherever it says the word hinei in the Torah, it means the unexpected. We never thought this could possibly happen, that a person is not well, cannot function properly. Hinei. Hinei avicha choyle. Chazal say Yaakov, so it's not a good thing for a person just to leave this world suddenly. He needs a transition period for him to properly prepare to put his home in order. This was Yaakov Avinu's contribution to this world. Fine. Now, who came to him? That's not even the point I want to make. Who came to him? Who came to him was Yosef. Yosef comes running, and it says there that Yaakov Avinu bowed al Reish Hamita to his son Yosef. Shocking thing. A father should bow to his son. This is connected the way the world works. The son should bow to the father, not the father bow to the son. So Rashi says, Tala be'idne sagidle, a fox. In his time, you bow. In other words, just to summarize, not go into details, kivoid malchus. Yosef HaTzadik was the melech. He was the melech of Egypt, the Mishnah Lemelech, and the laws of kivoid malchus demand even a father, Yaakov Avinu, bowed to his own son, which is a very big controversy. Was Yaakov Avinu even allowed to do this? He's teaching, you know, kibud av v'em of the Torah versus a kvod malchus of the umay so'olam. This is not even a kvod malchus of klal Yisrael. It's not part of soim tasim olach melech. This is a kvod malchus of the umay so'olam. And here we find Yaakov Avinu giving kvod of kvod malchus of a secular malchus at the expense of kibud av v'em, which is biblical, which is klal Yisrael. The entire klal Yisrael is built on the foundation of kibud av v'em. We say every single day Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Reciting Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov in essence is kibud av v'em. When you say three times a day Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, this is the abizrayu, the kibud av v'em. They are our patriarchs. And likewise, everyone from them going forward is likewise a patriarch. How many years has it been since Matan Torah? 3,335. 3,000, divide that by 25. What's the number? Divide 3,000, maybe you want to do a quick calculation. 3,000, how much?
1,200 is 3,000.
By 25. Less. Oh, I think it's less. 3,325 divided by 25.
Anyone? No, 120.
120, right. Something like that. Yeah. 120. So that means approximately every single person in this room should bring in tomorrow for homework a yichus brief. 125 fathers above you. Who is your father? Who is his father? Who is his father? Who is his father? Everyone should bring in a piece of paper that has approximately 125 names, taking you back to who was your father's 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 father, v'chulu, standing at Matan Torah. Okay? If we are exactly now 3,335 years from Matan Torah, that means we have approximately 125 fathers on top of us going back to that moment when Hashem said, Kabeid es avicha v'yasimecha.
But what's the lack of kibud av that he bowed down to him?
Because
I have to give kavod to him, but that he was mochel his kavod and bowed down, did I got to stop him? Am I required to stop him?
It goes against the grain. Mm-hmm. You're saying it's such a lamdish vart. There's too much lamdish in this vart. Sometimes
and
a lamdan can outsmart himself.
It's a covenant for the father that his son is a melech.
It's a covenant to him to stand there and watch, not to bow down. Bowing down is a humbling experience.
No,
it's a humbling experience. It's
why did Yosef dream that he bowed down?
It's a very good question. He said he saw the stars bowing down. He didn't say the interpretation. He didn't say the interpretation, but his father asked, am I going to bow down to you? Is your mother? Your mother died. It can't be the mother, but really refer to Zilpah. All right, whatever the case is. Bill, all right. All right, bowing down is a little bit different. It is an amazing thing that Yaakov Avinu, over here you learn about Kavod Malchus. A kavod mal. Now, it's one thing if he would have been a Jewish king. A Jewish king. Soim tosim olech ha-melech. Lo yosor shevet mi Yehudu mi chokek mi bein raglov. There's a malchus in klal Yisrael. Then there's a malchus of by the umayis ha-olam. So if you want to say that a father should be moichel on his kavod, for the kavod malchus of Hashem, of klal Yisrael, So the Kavod Malchus of David, the Malchus of David, this is Me'en Mashiach. It's a religious, the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, of David, is a religious Malchus. So then it's not so far-fetched to say, so the father will bow down to his son who is a king. Let's say you'll have a situation where you have a framework of Malchus Yisrael. But here it's not a Malchus Yisrael, it is a secular Malchus. So this touches upon a famous Chazal that tell us, Le'oilam Yoretz Adam, Likras Malchei, Likras, I got the exact words, a person always run to behold a melech. It doesn't say beferish in the Gemara that it's a non-Jewish king, and that's the topic. All you should run to see, to give kvod malchus, to see the honor of malchus. Ad kidei kach, Chazal said that kohanim are allowed to contaminate to the dead. They're allowed to jump over dead bodies, kvarim, of non-Jews, basically, it's a tumas midrabanan, in order to behold kvod malchus. If the melech is passing through, there's an entourage, and the melech is passing through, and there's going to be glory, there's going to be a ceremony, it's worthy to go and be mevatel from anything that you are doing to behold this sight, so that, she'im yizke, if he will merit, and the word yizke is subject to interpretation, he will then, later in his existence, when he will see the real kvod malchus, he'll be able to discern the difference between this kvod malchus and the malchus, or the real malchus that is yet to see. Now let me read you the exact words of Chazal, because it is critical to understand this.
While you're looking, that's why Yaakov never went to Yosef, and Yosef had all those
questions. Right, so that's one of the reasons. There are many reasons why Yaakov Avinu, he distanced himself from visiting his father. Yosef distanced himself from his father the last 17 years. He set his father up, in Goshen, and did not come to visit, because if he would come to visit, it would demand that his father give Yosef kavod, and he felt that's not proper. So he just avoided the situation. That's a tremendous chiddush, because it's a tremendous chiddush to really.
Did he see him for 17 years?
He did. Obviously, can't say he never saw him, but it's a tremendous chiddush to say that, because Kibud Av V'Aim is Kibud Av V'Aim. So you have a problem. So just because you have a problem, you don't do it? You know, just to go, you have a mitzvah. I can't do the mitzvah well. When I do the mitzvah, there are issues. So don't do the mitzvah? So you do it the best you can do. A person doesn't have a tefillin shel yan, tefillin shel rosh, right? Let's say you're missing one. You're missing one of the tefillin. Oh, I can't do it the right way. I can't have them both. So, you know, I won't do it. You do what you can do. So Yaakov has a problem. The problem is that he's going to come to visit, so his father's going to have to bow down, because the laws of the Malchus, when the king walks in, so because of that, you're not going to go visit your father? You're going to completely ignore one of the most important myths of Kibud Av V'Aim? The whole concept of that idea, is that the reason why Yaakov of Yosef did not visit his father was because he did not want to put his father in a situation where he's going to bow down to him, and that's going to be a lack of Kibud Av V'Aim. It's a shocking thing to say such a thing.
Lamaisa, we know, at least I was given that halacha, that if it's going to come to not being able to give the kibud av because of whatever difficulties it might be, it's best to stay away from them. In other words, they're in the nursing home and they're going to.
That's what I'm saying.
You have that right to stay away.
You do have a right to stay away. It's hard to understand that.
It really depends.
Marame Ramberg. There's a mice with the Marame Ramberg. I think the Marame Ramberg didn't see, once he became the Gadol Hadar, the Marame Ramberg was the Gadol Hadar also. They said that he didn't go to his father anymore. He stayed away from his father, so his father should not have to go give him kavod. Because the kavod that Marame Ramberg received when he became a Rav was beyond belief. And his father would be there when he was there. His father would automatically have no choice but to also participate in giving kavod to the Rami Ramberg. He did not want his father to have that humiliation of a father giving kavod to his son. So he stayed away from his father. Is that really true? In Kabbalah, in the Kabbalah. All right. But the point. So, let me read the words Let me read the words. It's the Gemara Masechet Brachos Daf Tes. Le'olam yishtadel adam lorutz likras malchei Yisrael. And then it says further, v'loy likras malchei Yisrael bilvad, el afil likras malchei Akum, ke oved koichovim umazoles. Akum is a very strong word. Oved, a guy who worships koichovim umazoles. A person is in violation of the Aseres Adibros. A person should go likras to greet a king of Akum. Okay? Oiv the Avodah Zarah. Shocking, no? Isn't that not shocking? She'im Yizkeh. If he will merit, Yavchin, you will see the difference between Malchei Yisrael leMalchei Akum. Now, then the Gemara goes on and says something which is very important. Mid this halach of going to greet the Malchei Yis, this memra applies. It says, Medalgin. Ah, Medalgin hoyinu al gabe aroinoi shal mesim likras Malchei Yisrael. And then the Gemara says a ma'aseh that we were medalgin upon the graves of the dead. Kohanim. What's that sound? My computer making that sound over here? Medalgin, you know, al gabi aroina shalmesim, we would actually skip, which means that we would jump over the graves, which means they came in contact with tumah. How could they do that? It's an iser daraisa for a kohen to come in contact with tumah. So the Mepharshim explains, the Gemara explains that when they would contaminate themselves, it was only a tumah midrabanan. It was not a tumah daraisa, it was a tumah midrabanan. These were graves of non-Jews. And graves of non-Jews are only metame midrabanan. The halacha of going likras to witness the kvoid malchus is so great, Chazal suspended or never enacted that there should be a prohibition of coming for a kohen to come in contact with the dead in order to be able to witness the kvoid malchus. Isn't that an incredible thing? A kohen is allowed to be metame to a mace. Midrabanan, as long as it's not a biblical prohibition, in order to witness the Kavod Malchus, it's a tremendous chiddush to say such a thing. That's what the Gemara says beferish. But there is a very, very big dilemma in the Rishonim. This halach that a kohen is allowed to be metame lemeis, is it going only for Malchei Yisrael, or is it going even for Malchei Umay Sa'olam? The Rambam, a long shtickel Torah over here. And one of Rabbi Dvorkis's earliest, this is one of his earliest svarim, Beshvili Aparash is one of his earliest svarim. He has probably about, by now 20 of these svarim. One of the early ones, he has a whole shtickle Torah here to show that the Rambam holds that he can be metame atumah midrabanan, even if he's medayik, if this is really correct, what he's saying, what I'm saying, where I'm reading this, even for Malchei Umay Sa'olam. It's a big enough chiddush to say that a kohen can be metame lemeis midrabanan to be in order to give cover to go witness the cover of a melech of a Yisrael. But for a kohen to be metame lemeis to give cover to witness the cover of a melech of a goy ad kedei kach is it really true? So it seems the Rambam holds yes. The inyan of Kavod Malchus is such a powerful inyan, they completely suspend the laws of Tumah. Now, he says over here something incidentally, over here in this Sefer by Rabbi Dvorkis, I don't know if it's him or someone else, and he says, what is this all about? What is this all about of this idea of being Metame Lemes? You know, there are many things a person may have to do in order to reach a certain destination. You want to go somewhere, you may have to go on Shabbos, past the Trum. If you want to go give cover to see the Kavod Malachim, you may have to, the place where you're going, there's no kosher food. The only food they serve there is non-kosher, but it's only Osim Midrabanan. I'm not too creative, but certainly if you want to come up with examples of teaching you principles of doing an Isser Midrabanan, Shadness. You know, there are many examples the Chazal could have given to tell you about violating an Issa Midrabanan in order to witness the Kavod Malchus. Why did it focus on this particular Issa? And the assumption is this is the only exception. There is no Issa Midrabanan that is suspended in order to allow a person to behold the Kvoid Malchus, not the Malchus of a Goy certainly, and not the Malchus even of a Melech Yisrael. David HaMelech is coming. Can you imagine, Mark? David HaMelech today is going to be passing down entourage down Avenue L and making a right turn onto Ocean Avenue. Okay, Ocean Avenue. He's coming in a couple of minutes. He's coming in a couple of minutes. But in order for you to get there to the corner, in order for you to get there to the corner to watch the entourage and to see the Kvod Malchus, the person will have to violate an Isur Dirabanan. David HaMelech himself, Trias HaMason. Here he is, Avenue L. He's coming down the street. Come see the Kvod Malchus. What's going on outside? In order for me to get there, I'm a Kohen. In order for me to get there, I have to do it. I have to do an Issa Midraban. I don't know. You have to come up with an example. What would be the Issa Midraban? Whatever the Issa Midraban would be. Let's say it's Shabbos. Going past the Tchum on Shabbos is Midrabanan. Only Yud Beis Mil is Deraisa. So in order for me to go see this, I have to go on Shabbos, walk more than 2,000 Amos, which according to many Rishonim is only Midrabanan. Are you allowed to do it? No. You don't want to do it. In order for me to get there, I would have to do some type of Issa Midrabanan. I don't know what it would be. Whatever it would be, it would be. Okay? You have to be creative to figure it out.
The Malchus is more even than an appearance? You have a choice.
Did
you
give him a king? Yes, a very good question. The only choice, Lachar, parent. It only says in the Torah the word parent. It doesn't say the word. It's Soim Tosim Ulach HaMelech. It says that Seres HaDibros. The Aseres HaDibros say Kabedes Avichu V'Yasimecha. It does not say Kabedes Malkecha, and it does not say Kabedes Bincha V'Yasbitecha either. So, no, appearance first, but only when it comes to Tumas HaMeis, not when it comes to any other Issa Midrabanan. Why specifically did Chazal lift the restriction of Tumas HaMeis? So he says here something amazing. And that is, we have a precedent for this. And what is that? Kohanim. Is a Kohen allowed to contaminate themselves to a dead person? Absolutely not. Okay, absolutely not. Someone's trying to say something, I apologize. I'm still lazy, I never fixed the computer, so I can't really hear you. So if you're speaking and I'm trying to say something, I don't pay attention. It's not because I'm trying to ignore you. Okay, so the question is, why? We have a precedent. A Kohen is allowed to contaminate himself to his 7 closest relatives. Mother, father, brother, sister, son, daughter, wife. Beginning of Parashas Emor. Emor el ha-konim ne'ron li'ish lo yitamo be'amov kim l'sh'eroi ha-karoi ve'lov li'moy u'loviv. Okay? The Torah explicitly tells us Kohanim, you don't privilege characters. You do not go to funerals. Not anymore. In America, we have a solution for everything, right? You do not go to funerals. You do not be metame lemeis. But the Torah says, the Torah, how often does the Torah make an exception? The Torah says exceptions. Parents, you can go. The exceptions. This is the blueprint for Chazal to say, hey, you know, we're making some rules. The Torah said that the rabbis have power to make enactments. They're not in the Torah. You have hundreds, if not thousands, of takonos that Chazal enacted, all different types of mitzvahs, takonos, minhagim, chumrois, all these things that Chazal enacted. So the Chazal followed the blueprint, the template of the Torah. The Torah made enactments. How often does the Torah make exceptions? Almost never. Almost never. Almost never exceptions. Few and far in between. There's an exception. Tumas Meis. Oh. For these relatives, you can be Matami. Why? Why? Basically, Kovod. Kavod HaMeis. They're your relatives. It's your responsibility. And when it's your responsibility, we make exceptions, specifically with regard to Tumas Hanes. Mimela, the Melech is like a parent. And just like a parent, the Torah made an exception, so too, when the Melech is coming and there's a barrier of Tumah in the way, we never enacted. This is an exception. Now there's no din tumah. You're allowed to go make yourself tameh, even though ordinarily it's aser to go greet, give kavod to the melech. No different than being allowed to be metameh to give kavod to a parent. It's the same principle. It's exactly the same principle. The only difference is the parent is dead, and the melech is alive. Okay, but okay, that's a don't confuse me with the facts. but the concept is the same concept. And what it does is this comparison, it opens up a whole new appreciation of what exactly are you doing by coming to see the Melech. When you come to see the Melech, let's look at it like this, a Hakira, Lomisha Hakira. When Chazal told you, lo'oilam yishtadel adam. The word yishtadel is a very interesting word, but yishtadel lorutz, to run. We have already three words, lo'oilam. There are no exceptions. The word yishtadel is a very intense word in Chazal. You gotta really sweat. Adam, lorutz, is to run. Three words here, which each word itself, you can make a whole drasha. Likras, to greet the Malchei Yisrael. V'lo likras Malchei Yisrael b'levad, el afil likras Malchei Akum. Now, before we get to the word Shem Yiske, let's make a chakira. What's the purpose of you going to see the king? Selfish reasons. I want to see. It's an experience that I need to behold in order for me to, as the Gemara really goes on to say, to take in that in the next world, at some point in time, it will be a tool that I will be able to, an experience. It will be like, you know, you get an education. I'll get an education so that sometime down the line, I'll be able to get a job. So the reason why I'm going basically is 100% selfish. 100% selfish. And when you read the Gemara, that's really what it seems to say. Because the Gemara goes on that Shem Yizkeh, Yavchin ben Malchei Yisrael l'Malchei Akum. If you'll be Zoiche, you'll be Mavchin between the Malchei Yisrael. Now, here's the problem. When it says that...
Selfish, it's to fully comprehend when you see that Malchus Yisrael, you will fully comprehend what it is. Otherwise, you might not even fully comprehend and you won't give the cover that you're supposed to. If you see the Malchus...
Oh, so you just said something. You just said you won't give the cover that you're supposed to. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, we'll take a step back. Let's take a step back.
Why does this mean, you know, having a personal audience with the king? Why not, you know, we said before, go to the parade and witness the spectacle?
So that's exactly the point. When you go to the Israeli Day Parade, are you going, what are you going for? Ask the average person on the street. Stop them, have them get a 40-inch slip. A 40, okay, so you just said something. A 40-inch slip. Why are you here today? Get them when they're not thinking. When they're not going to be politically correct. I'm going, it's a nice day. I'm going out with my wife. Watch. Nice place to go. I have nothing else to do. A nice thing to experience. Oh, you basically said you went here for selfish reasons. Do you care about the state of Israel? Are you a supporter? You just said yourself. Oh, then there are some people, it is my duty. It is my duty to pay homage.
Rain, snow, sleet.
Well, most of all, I'm here. Not the same. With global warming, you never know. I'm here to give. I'm here to give. I'm not here to take. Why is a person going to a parade? Because I have nothing else to do. I want to have a good time. Or no, I'm here to give. If there's no one going to come to this parade and the king comes down the street, So it's going to be a bezoyin for the king. I'm here to give the king honor. So we don't need you. We have another million people. Every person counts. If everyone has that attitude, why should you vote? Anyway, they're going to steal the election. Every person counts. It'll be a bigger steal. The reason why you go vote is because that when they steal the election, the hate should be greater. A bigger steal. A bigger sentence that you stole from me also. What, every single person counts. Make no mistake about it. Bro, so here's the dilemma. When you go give cover to a melech, are you going, are Chazal sanctioning selfish reasons? They want you to get an education in Kivoid Malchus so that in the future, when you'll witness Melech HaMashiach, or you'll witness a Melech of Klal Yisrael, there are many different interpretations of this Gemara. Shem Yiskel, Olam Haba, you have to go, there's a big maze here. What exactly, who are you coming to see? You're coming to see over here the Melech of the God. When it says all these lines in the Gemara, is it going back on the, when it says, Shemid Lahavchin, Bein Malche Yisrael, Malche Akum, that cannot be going back on the first sentence. The first sentence says the person should run Likras Malche Yisrael. So if you're running to see Malche Yisrael, so when it says now Shem Yiske Yavchim in Malche Yisrael Malche Akum, that's I see the Malche Yisrael. So what are you talking about? So that line of running is going on Likras Malche Akum. There are two different parts of the Gemara. That's not the point we want to make over here. This is because you can mafalpel both ways. But here is the Chakira. When we know that there's something called going to witness this, to behold a melech, whether it's a melech Yisrael or it's the melech of Umma Yisraelam, why should you want a person who thinks? People just do whatever they want to do. They don't think. They just do whatever the masses do. You follow the masses, do whatever you want to do. If it's good for you, there's an incentive. You do. You don't know an incentive. You don't do. V'chulu, v'chulu. There are people out there that actually they think and they make decisions. Why? Why should I go? Should I go if it's the reason why you're getting an education to understand what is Kvod Malchus, and now, years later, or a time later, I'll store this information, I'll be able to go use it as a tool to grow from, okay? So that's why I'm going for selfish reasons, for education, or maybe not. Maybe Chazal are telling me go because you have a duty to give kavod to a king, to give kavod to a melech Yisrael, whatever it is. It might be a side benefit, a perk, that you'll get an education also. But even if you already know this, you still have to give kavod. L'may nafkamin, and this takalah halach, l'may nafkamin, let's say you already saw it once. Let's say you live in, let's say the president comes to town. President comes to town. So it says le'olam. Now the word le'olam means, what does it exactly mean le'olam? How do you can translate the word? Many places can say that once you've seen it once, you're not mechuyif to do see it again. If you're going to be mevatel Torah to go see a president of the United States coming to town, there's an entourage coming, so there's a halacha, you're supposed to go. The Sikvod Malchus, Shehim Yizke, Yavchin, Ben Malchay Akum, Malchay Yisrael. I did this already last year. I would rather learn Torah, give a shir, I'd rather go to a shir, I'd rather go do a mitzvah, Bikur Cholim, I have other things I want to go do. I just rather relax, I want to relax. I want to.
What about the ceremony for the Pope now?
What?
What about the Pope just
died? The Pope is not a melech. The Pope is not a melech. He's not a melech. Firstly, he wasn't the Pope. He retired. He wasn't the Pope anyway. And he's not a melech.
But in general?
He's a religious leader. He's not a melech. And he's not a melech.
So let's say anyway, a king, Queen Elizabeth. Did we?
First, it was in a church. It is an iser gomor to watch anything that takes place in a church. Watch on television is aser.
Really?
Yes, aser. It is aser to watch the ceremony in the church. What were religious people doing in the church? I have no idea what the heter is. What heter? What's the heter? What? You go ask their rabbi. It's a real. In the church. The ceremony was in the church. Some of the parade. The parade was outside the church. So you have to know when to watch. You have to get a time and no, go back to the videotape and go watch Prince Charles marching behind the coffin in a chanami.
Why can't you watch it on TV, the church?
You're not allowed to watch that. That's not, that's
why?
Why are you allowed to watch a woman who's not dressed sneistic on TV?
Ooh, what?
He asked a question. Why are you not allowed to watch it on TV, what goes on in a church? So I asked, so let me ask you another question. Are you allowed to watch a woman who's not properly dressed on television? It's only a piece of glass. What do you want from me? It's only a piece of glass.
That's not the same.
Why is that the same? Why is it not the same? Why is it not the same?
Because that's a matter of hero in your mind, even if you don't see her and his hero.
It's so minus.
If you see her on the TV, you might have it for sure.
Watching the church ceremony is minus. It's the same thing.
What?
I'm not saying, this is not my idea. It seems to be a davar chomer even to watch it on television. It's no different. It's no different than watching, just like we have a principle. No one's going to tell you, you're allowed to go watch things that are not proper because it's only a piece of glass. What do you want? What have did I do already? I'm looking at a piece of glass. What?
That's not the scene. It's the hero.
It's so watching a ceremony in church is almost more realistic than being there. When I go to a wedding and I take out my camera, I only can do this where I have no bush. Or, you know, if I go to a wedding where I know everyone, you know, I'm a big bal gaiva. It's not lefi kvoidi, my gaiva, that I should start taking pictures of what's going on. But I do. But when I go to a wedding, I don't know anyone. I have no busha. I take out my smartphone. All these very religious people, a smartphone, you're a sheikh, so you have a smartphone. I take out my phone and I take pictures galore. And I make an album and I send it to my friend and they love it. They love it. I love it. So I'm a big bal gaiva. So if I go to a wedding where I know everyone, I'm embarrassed to do it. I'm embarrassed, you know, to go and be in the world. There's a photographer. The photographer, that's his job, not my job. I don't know. But the photographer takes them a couple of weeks until they give you the good. They want to see it now. I had a friend, and she called me up 2:00 in the morning, the night of the wedding. We are the pictures already. I'm not joking. 2:00 in the morning, he came home and he called me up. He says, I need to see the pictures. No, he wasn't. I'm telling you, this is nature. I need the pictures. I know you took pictures of the wedding. I want the pictures now. 2:00. No, I anticipated that he would do this because he did it last time. So I anticipated. His children. Okay, so what I'm trying is well, how do I get into this even? How do we get into this?
The pictures.
So I'm telling you, when I go to a wedding, I see what's going on. I can't even see what's going on. I find it amazing. I take the phone, I zoom, I can see crystal clear what's going on. I cannot see naturally what's going on from a far distance. But when I take the camera and I lift it up and I do zoom, I can see much better. I can see much better than seeing it live. So you're going to tell me you go to a church, you watch the church service and the galach with the Avodah Zarah dangling and the smoke and mirrors and all these things that I think, you don't think I watched this stuff already? I know this stuff already. I watched enough of this stuff. It's usur. It's usur to do this. This is minus. This is a terrible thing to do. You're not allowed to do this. Okay? You're not allowed to, when they got married, they got married. So let's get back to our point over here. So if a person saw it once, are you obligated to do it a second time? So that's part of the chakir. If they didn't have given covet to the malchus, you have to give covet. To give. You got to give multiple times. If the din is, it's an education. Did you get the education? Did you learn the mesachta? Did you watch the entourage pass down the street? Did you see what it's all about? You got it, you're done. You did it once, there's no need to do it again. But if the din of kavod malchus is to give kavod to the melech, you got to do it multiple times. It's not enough to go do it once. Every time the king comes, you have to go outside once a year, twice a year. You got to go do it. Now, here is an insight. The Chazal went out of their way to make an exception. Strange. Why would they make an exception? They did not permit you to do an Issa Dirabbanan to go see a Melech if it's not death. If the only way you can get there is because you have to violate an Issa Dirabbanan, whatever the Issa Dirabbanan be, it is Usr. You're not allowed to violate an Issa Dirabbanan in order to likras the Melech, not the Melech Yisrael, and not a Melech Akum. But when it comes to Tumas Meis, you're allowed to go do it. Why? Why are you allowed to go do it? It's a midrabanan. Why is it different? So what is the answer? This is a new thing, this whole new chiddush to me. It's because Chazal pattern their halachas, their takhanas, after what it says in the Torah. And in the Torah, rare instances where the Torah made an exception. Where did the Torah make an exception? To masmes. A Kohen is not allowed to be metame to any person, midaraisa. Midaraisa, the term made exceptions. He's allowed to be metame to his relatives. Yibum, you have a concept.
There's already some other place that there is a heter.
All right, but let's focus on this. The Torah did make an exception. It is usur, you're not allowed to be metame. Oh, it's an exception. Now, let's go a step further. Why is there an exception? So now, a little other way. But first, we'll go further. Now, let's basically compare the two. Oh, so now, what's the pshat? The rabbanon, the rabbis, made a takana, you're not allowed to be metame lemeis. But they made an exception. So who's the exception? Well, just on the term made an exception, they made an exception for... The Torah, no, the Torah said there was, the Torah right away said that. We're talking about who did the Torah make an exception for? An important person. Who's an important person? Seven relatives. So when Chazal enacted Tumah D'Rabbanan, and they made exceptions, for whom did they make exceptions for? For an important person. Who's an important person? The Melech. The Melech is an important person. Now, let's go a step further. Time made the Krah. Why did the Torah make an exception for the seven relatives? Why? So you'll tell me simply because who else is going to bury them? If you're not going to bury them, no one else. No one's going to bury them. What? No one's going to bury them. So it's your responsibility. But there's two sides to the same coin. It's your duty to give them honor. Kivoyed hames. The body, the reason, it's your duty, not for someone else, it's for you. It's your obligation to give. When someone buries a dead body, they're getting something in return? Are you getting or you giving? It's pure giving. What are you getting in return? They'll never pay you back.
Well, we disprove that theory.
Okay, whatever. All right, but generally, when burial is, you said the words, it's chesed sholemes, Chazal's words. I know you'll come up with kind of alluded cases where you're getting, right? But you're giving. It's an act of giving. And now when it comes to kavod malchus, we find a pattern. We find the parallel. What does that tell you? It tells you that kavod malchus is chesed sholemes. If Chazal lifted the Tumas Meis Midrabanan, just like the Torah lifted, it's patterned. Chazal's removing Tumas Meis is patterned after the Torah removing Tumas Meis. And the Torah removing the Tumas Meis is Midin Chesed Shel Emes, is giving. That's a revelation that going to see a king is not a selfish act. It's an act of giving. Chesed Shalemes. Will the king ever repay you for coming to come and stand on the street? Never. Never. He'll never repay you. I find it amazing by the inauguration of the President of the United States. How many people come to the inauguration? It depends which president.
January
6th. Let's not go there. They're listening. They'll come for us soon. Let's talk about inauguration of a
people go to be seen.
What?
People go to be seen.
Whatever. It's a freezing cold. And freezing, in the middle of the winter. Was that January 20th? Freezing cold winter. The whole, they show that whole thing, that whole, whatever, that street there. Who's getting paid back? Someone's getting paid?
Jared had to go.
Someone's getting paid? It's Mamash Chesed Lemes to give cover to the Melech. It's Chesed Shalemes. It's an incredible insight. The whole din of Kavoy Malchus is Chesed Shalemes. And what's the proof? The proof is the parallelism of that the only thing Chazal lifted is Tumas Meis. Where does that come from? How come they don't go list Shadnez? How come they don't list Tuchum Shabbos? How come they don't go list, come up with, I'm sure if you're creative, you can come up with other Isuri Dirabonan. They didn't lift those things. Only Tumas Meis. Why? Because Tumas Meis, because it's parallel to the laws of Kohanim, and by the Kohanim, there the Torah also lifted, and there the whole essence of lifting Tumas Meis is chesed, is give. Here, it's give. See, that's the whole point. If this would have been to take, a religious, it's an experience, an educational experience. It's a mitzvah. I'm gonna get reward in the next world, then Chazal will say, don't go, stay home, you're gonna be tame. Because you're a selfish person, because you're so selfish, we're not gonna go take lift Averos. But because what you are doing is purely an act of giving, you know what? We never enacted Takanas Derabanan when it comes to giving. It's an act of giving. So it's an amazing thing. Who needs who? Ein melech beloy am. If you don't come to give him kavod, he's not a melech. You're doing him the favor. When the melech comes down the street and you go out there to salute and to hold your little flag and wave your flag, you're doing him the favor.
Is this kavod the same as kavod hameis? Like when they
go to that's exactly what we're trying to say here. No, this is exactly what we're showing over here. I'm trying to show here a parallelism between, it's a very interesting halacha, medalgin al aroinos. We would jump over coffins when we went to greet the king. What? What are you doing? You're doing an iser derabanan? The chazal said, not deraisa. These are coffins of dead bodies of non-Jews, which are tamei midrabanan, and we were in violation of an iser derabanan in order to mimikayim a minhag or a maimer chazal. What are you doing? What are you doing? All the mafarshim, the gemara, what? Chazal never enacted. They never enacted a takana in this case.
Is it an iser derabanan? Being in an oil with an akum, mace is not a
mace. Being, it's a derabanan. It is also midrabanan for a kohen to be in an oil ham. Yes, to go into. Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. All the rules of tumas hamace apply to goyim the same way they apply.
Not
oil, yes.
So we all go down.
I'm sorry? No. Absolutely not. No. They did not treat a Talmud Chacham with the same status as a Melech. You're right, they did not. A Talmud Chacham is not. Even Rabbi Muvok. There is a discussion, okay, there is such a discussion. I remember you're triggering some memories of, we know that Kivrei Tzadikim are not metame. There's such a principle, right? Kivrei Tzadikim are not metame. So how could you say that? How could you say Kivrei Tzadikim are not metame? So one of the answers is, when Chazal said Kivrei Tzadikim are not metame, it means at the time that they die. So one shot deal, like what you're saying. This is one of the answers that when a Gadol Hador dies, a Tzadik dies, it's no different than a person's parent dies. So a Tzadik is the parent of every person in Klal Yisrael. So it's like part of the exceptions. So when Chazal said Kivrei Tzadikim are not metame, it means when he dies. When he dies, everyone, even Kohanim, are allowed to participate in the funeral and bury him and come in contact with the kever. But after he's finished, no way. You can't just go to you can't go to Meiron. Kohanim can't go to Meiron. Can't go to Kohanim allowed to go to Meiron? So they make special places where they have no trees, no oil, and they come near. And they come in the vicinity, and they have to know exactly what to do. But to mamish enter into the ohel, so that is something which is very controversial, very controversial. I think this is the difference between Chabad and Satmar, where they differ to large. I think Satmar is very makbid. There's no such thing as Kivrei Tzadikim. Are not mitame. They are mitame. And Chabad is much more lenient on this.
But the seven relatives.
What?
But the seven relatives. Does the Kohen become tame? He's just allowed to do it?
Mechuyev.
Mechuyev to do it.
Mitzvah. 100% is tame.
He has to go
He has to have paraduma. Paraduma water, the whole works. The whole works. Okay, so this, I thought this would take 5 minutes, but this is a lamda shachakira. When you give cover to a melech, are you giving or are you taking? Nafkamina, the nafkamina is how many times you have to do it. If you're taking, once is enough. Everything is like that. It's always, what's the ikar?
Needs approval.
So part of the duty is to support him. All right, let's discuss another topic very quickly. The topic of Yisimcha lakim ki Ephraim v'chim nasha. Okay, a little more on the Jewish side. This week's parasha, we learned the bracha b'cho yivarech Yisrael leimor Yisimcha lakim ki Ephraim v'chim nasha. The brachos of Yaakov to Yosef was that he blessed his children. Now, the question is, this is a very disturbing question, is if you can go and you can give a person the bracha to be like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, why would you tell your child you should be like Avchaim Knievsky? Okay, Avchaim Knievsky is the Gadol Hador, was the Gadol Hador, the Sar HaTorah. So, but you know, there's Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So if you say to your child, I want to give you a bracha, I want you to be like, who do you, like Rav Moshe Feinstein, Chaim Knievsky, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Chaim Knievsky, how about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Ever think of them? You do say in Shimon Esher, okay, Avraham, okay, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, no, they were modern.
They were modern.
They were modern, no. Ridiculous. So what's the pshat? What's the answer? There is no answer. Obviously, you give a bracha, you go for the best. You don't settle for. So why then in the world would you want to go give your children b'cha yivarech Yisrael leimar yisimcha Elokim ki Ephraim v'chim nasha when you can give a bracha Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? What is Yaakov Avinu over here? What is Yaakov Avinu coming over here to do and tell? Klal Yisrael, tell Yosef the bracha that everyone in Klal Yisrael is going to give the bracha that they should be like your children and not like me and your my father and his father. Hello, are you talking? The proof is when you give a bracha to your daughters, what do you say? Yisimech Elokim, Kisora, Rivka, Rachel, Valea. So what's the parallel? What's going on over here? What's the parallel? They don't parallel each other. Why don't we go say Yisimech Elokim ki Osnas? Okay, that was the closest thing to Ephraim and Menashe. They had no sisters that we know of. Okay, we don't know of any sisters, so at least their mother. Okay, if you want to go and talk about a next generation, well, what's going on over here? This is an age-old question. And first I'll tell, so let me tell you my favorite answer, and then we'll discuss some other answers. My favorite answer is Ephraim and Menashe really are Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What do we mean? This is the very famous Das Zekenim Mibali Taisvis. And the Das Zekenim is, what is the name Ephraim? The word Ephraim is Afer, Ash. Afer is Ash. There's a Yud Mem at the end of Afer, which connotes plural, polarity. Afer, Yud Mem, like Yud Mem means many. Anoshim, let's see, plural. Yud Mem is plural. A double portion of Ash. Who in the Torah is compared to Ash? Avraham, the Onoichi Ofar VaEfer. Rashi, what's the Efer? I was meant to be a Nimrod. Threw me into the Kivshan HaEsh. A miracle happened. I survived. But I was really meant to turn into ash. I'm really Ofar v'Efer. I was meant to be nothing, Efer. So here I am. Avraham Avinu called himself Efer. Yitzchak, we focus on this in Rosh Hashanah. Efroi shel Yitzchak tzavur, shel ayil tzavur lefonav. Yitzchak was meant to be offered on the Akedah. And what would that mean? It means he would have been cremated. Isn't that what it means? It's cremation. He would have been slaughtered, his dam would be accepted, Avraham would have sprinkled the blood on the Mizbeach, and then like you do to every single carbon oiler, you burn the oiler, and you turn the oiler into ash. This was the goal. This was the plan for Yitzchak. And therefore, the goal was a Yitzchak should have been Efer when it was all said and done. What happened instead? Al tishlach yodcha el hanar, v'al tas loy me'uma, don't touch him. And then, I can't. I'm holding mamish. So, you know, I made a bracha. I already made a bracha. Asher kiddush adav, I made a bracha. Al kiddush Hashem, hefsek. Okay. Slaughter instead. So everything that Avraham did to the ayil is ki'ilu, he did it to Yitzchak. And Chazal said that it's always piled before Hashem the image of the Ephroi shel ayil, the ash. So Yitzchak should have been ash. Memela, when it says here, Ephraim, when Yosef went to Egypt and he named his son, he named his son Ephraim. He was naming his son after his grandfather and his great-grandfather, after Avraham and Yitzchak. Who is Menashe named after? It's Beferish in the Pasuk. Ki Nashani Elokim es kol Amoli v'es beis Avi. Is that how it goes? It's called Amoli v'es beis Avi. Hashem has caused me to forget as base ovi, I forgot about dad. Now, is that really what it means? So some of the farshim say it's not really what it means. What it really means is Yaakov Yosef was having a good life after he was released from captivity. The ace kol base ovi. After Yosef things went well. After Paro appointed him to become the Mishneh LeMelech, what a life. He was the king, 7 years of plenty. So he wake up in the morning, what's your father's name? I forgot. Life was so good. He began to forget about everything that happened to him. That's not good. How can I forget where I come from? How can I forget? You know what? I have an idea. I will name my child my father's name. That way, every time I look at him, it will force me to think about the base Avi. But I'm a Litvak. And a Litvak's not allowed to name a living person, a child after a living person. So I can't call my son Yaakov, because my father's alive. Old Yosef, he's alive. If my father is alive, I cannot name my child. I cannot name my child after a living person. So I'll call him Menashe. Menashe is Kinashani, because I was beginning to forget. Life here is so good, I'm beginning to forget where I come from. Kinashani Elokim is Kol Beis Avi, which has to be translated, according to some of the commentators, as I'm beginning to forget. Therefore, I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget. And therefore, I'll call him Menashe. Menashe, which means to forget, basically.
If you're using that pasuk, you got to use the pasuk for Ephraim, ki Ephraim Elokim v'Yeretz
Okay, so it's both together. The ayin problems are. So in essence, who did Yosef name his children after? He named them after Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Ephraim is Avraham and Yitzchak. Vanochi of Efer, Ephraim shall ayil tzavu lefanav. Yaakov, Menashe is Kinashani Elokim. Okay, so he's really naming them after Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
Hold on.
Now, if he's naming them after Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so what was our original question? Our original question was, why don't we name, when you give a bracha to your children, what was the original question? Go for the gold. What are you going to sell for the bronze? You go for the gold. Yisimcha lokim ke Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. What's the proof? Because when it comes to the girls, yisimcha lokim ke Sarif v'Rachel v'Leah. The answer is you are giving them a bracha. Like you are giving them a bracha. You give them the bracha like Ephraim, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and like Yaakov, Menashe. So just say it. So just say, why do you have to go be Merames? If you're telling me that Ephraim and Menashe really refers to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so say it. What do you have to go and say, Ephraim and Menashe? The Teretz says, you're getting even more. Because Ephraim and Menashe weren't just Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It represented the Shalsheles HaDoros. It represented the continuity of Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov. Avraham and Yitzchak weren't a one-time event. Oh, there was an Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's in a history book. They lived at that time. Mm-hmm. And what became of them? Nothing. Over. No. That's not what happened. They have a legacy. They have descendants. And their descendants are proud of them. And they've named their own children after Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. By referring to Ephraim and Menashe, you're not just giving your children a bracha to be like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You're giving them a bracha that should continue in perpetuity. I give up. I got to practice before I try to say some of these fancy words. Okay, you're giving them a bracha that should continue for Doros. Forever. It's Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov on steroids. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov exponential. Ephraim and Menashe is the exponential Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The Shalsheles HaDoros. You're really giving them the bracha. I want you to be Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. V'haraya, sarif k'rachel v'leya. And Ephraim is Avraham, Yitzchak. Menashe is Yaakov. But I want you, my children, to grow up, to appreciate and cherish your legacy, where you come from, and to such a degree that it should be your only interest that your children, the next generation, should also follow in your ways and these ways and be like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It represents the continuity.
So the boys get a better bracha than the girls.
Basically, yeah, because we don't have an example to draw from
for the girls.
But it's all the same, man. We appreciate this. And anyway, we need the girls to be sarif gracha to prove to us. By the way, we need them to be there to prove to us that when it says Ephraim and Menashe, it really means Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, because it has to be a parallel. Right, it can't be the high luchud, the high luchud. So the fact we have a sarif baruch of Leah, they took the hit to prove that Ephraim and Menashe really means Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Okay, now one last point is that if you look at the pesukim very carefully, there seems to be something very bizarre. When Yaakov Avinu, when Yosef comes to Yaakov, the whole thrust is that Yaakov is going to give Yosef a bracha. Vayivorich es Yosef. And yet nowhere do we see that he gave him a bracha.
Later he does.
Sure he does.
Where?
And he gives all the brothers the bracha. Hey Osfu, we are Gido.
That's Hey Osfu. That's a different. He comes here.
You're right. I asked that question a long time.
He comes. So the answer you're given is that
children,
the ultimate bracha, right? Exactly. A bracha to your children is by definition a bracha to you. And it fits in perfectly with this idea. That's why the bracha to you is if your children giving a bracha to a child, that by definition is the ultimate success for the father. So even though the part of Yevorech es Yosef, where's the bracha? I don't see any bracha here. No, you're giving your children the bracha. He puts his right hand, left hand, Sikilas Yadav, Kibanasha Bachar. That bracha is the bracha to Yosef, that your children are deserving of bracha. And they are going to perpetuate, the same way the Klal Yisrael is going to go in this way of perpetuating the Avos. That's exactly what's in it for you, that you, it's not just you, Yosef, it's your children. They're perpetuating this. Okay, Rabbi Yitzhak, we're going to stop over here. Arachim and Akashia.